Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text is the Old Testament lesson from 1 Kings 19, which was read a moment ago. This was not Elijah's best day. Not that long ago, in fact, just before our text, things were going a lot better. In chapter 18, he confronted 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, mocked and humiliated them in a contest of the gods, and then executed them as a demonstration of Yahweh's absolute power and victory. His prayers were answered to bring an end to a devastating drought, and to cap it off, he gathered up the hem of his robe and outran King Ahab's chariot on foot. Yeah, that was a good day. But now, just a few weeks later, he's alone and scared and on the run. He's as far from Israel as he can get, and he's hiding in a hole. He thinks it's over. He is convinced that his ministry as a prophet has been a failure. And there, in that cave, in his failure and fear and loneliness, the word of Yahweh comes to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Elijah, here in this cave, here so far from your calling, what in the world are you doing here? And Elijah's answer is ready. I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Look, God, I'm the only one. Even the Supreme Court has ruled against me. I think he'd been rehearsing the speech. It had been his inner monologue during the weeks of his self-imposed exile. Look, I'm the only one. And he unloaded his complaint on the Lord as soon as he got the chance. And it's remarkable that the Lord didn't really answer right away. Instead, he tells Elijah to step outside. Now, just incidentally, if you're picking a fight with God, it's not necessarily good if he invites you to step outside. So he stepped outside, and then came the wind. And then came the earthquake, and then came the fire. And God was not showing himself in any of that bombastic commotion. But then, after all the noise, came the hushed silence in which Yahweh spoke again. And it was the same question. What are you doing here, Elijah? I have been jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, yada, 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 the same speech. As if Yahweh was hard of hearing, as if nothing had happened, as if the world was not still echoing from the wind and the earthquake and fire, as if Yahweh himself had not shown up and whispered in the awe-filled silence, "Has nothing changed?" Elijah, you see, seems to be stuck in the same loop of self-pity. But this story is not really about Elijah. It's about Yahweh, the God of Israel, showing up to seek and save his rebellious and unfaithful people. Elijah's whining sounds small and shrill as an answer to God's terrible silence, just as my whining and your whining sound feeble when God himself has shown up and spoken. But this isn't about us. This isn't about how tough we have it and how the world is going to heck in a handbasket. It's about Yahweh's determination to show his unchanging faithfulness and do what needs to be done to rescue his people from themselves, from their apostasy. And God is not impressed by the noise of wind and fire. His voice doesn't need to be the loudest to make itself heard. God is not impressed either with Elijah's arithmetic when he says, "I'm the only one." One prophet is plenty if Yahweh sends him. One quiet little word is enough to defeat all our enemies if Yahweh speaks it. And besides, things aren't really as dark as Elijah has convinced himself. God still has a people in Israel, a faithful remnant, a few thousand folks who have not forsaken the God of Israel or forgotten his covenant. You see, Elijah still has a lot of work to do. And he will have a successor. And his successor will have a lot to do. And his successor's successor will have a lot to do. So Yahweh's word to Elijah is, get up and get back to it. I'm not finished with you yet. The history of God's people is not yet in its last chapter. For you see, in this chapter in 1 Kings 19, faithful Israel had not really been whittled down to one last faithful prophet. But it would be. The time would come when Elijah's complaint would be literally and tragically true. One final faithful prophet all by himself would call on God's people to turn back. And when his enemies would seek his life and take it away, then all the little remnant that had gathered around him would run away and deny him. But that prophet's death would not drown out Yahweh's quiet word of victory, because he would walk out of his burial cave and ascend to Yahweh's right hand. The victory of Jesus, our prophet, is the victory of Yahweh himself, and he shares it with us all. Propelled by God's powerful promise, Elijah walked back into Yahweh's story, walked back into Yahweh's mission, and along the way he drafted Elisha. Others followed too, some great, some not so great, a goodly fellowship of prophets, and a noble army of martyrs. And somewhere along the way, they're joined by the glorious company of the apostles. And finally, in these gray and latter days, you and I get enlisted too. Bringing up the rear, perhaps, but definitely in the same parade. Sure, we're prone to the same self-pity as Elijah. Prone to the same exaggerated fears, we often want to complain that we're the only one. But Yahweh has shown up. Yahweh has spoken. Yahweh sends us back into the fray. One prophet is plenty, if Yahweh sends him. One quiet word is enough if Yahweh speaks it. So get up, get at it, get back to work, for he has saved his people, and he's not finished with you yet. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We stand and